Parliament's back next week and the net zero emissions debate continues to dominate the political conversation. As you can hear, Peter Van Onselen is TEN's political editor and a columnist with The Australian. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Fran. Good to chat.
Federal Cabinet met yesterday, Peter. We know that. We don't know what they've decided. The Nationals meet on Sunday. Will there be a deal on Australia committing to net zero emissions by 2050 by Sunday night? Some Nats are threatening to take their time, but the clock is ticking here.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure that they'll get the deal that quickly, but you would think that they're going to get the deal ahead of the Glasgow conference, simply because even though nothing's been 100% confirmed, we tend to know that the Prime Minister intends to go to it, or he hopes to go to it. Now, I guess that can always change if he can't get this deal, and perhaps that's what he's waiting for, but it would be a bad look for his government, particularly when himself, his Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, and plenty of others, even Barnaby Joyce, frankly, are starting to really intimate that if the deal can incorporate enough protections in the view of the Nationals for regional Australia, that there's a deal to be had. So it would really be a case of the tail wagging the dog if the Mavericks within the Nationals managed to kill this off for the rest of the government, not
well,
to mention the rest of the country.
They have done it before, but we have moved on since then. The world has moved on. We've just heard Andrew Forrest, we've just heard the ACTU all talking about the jobs of the future. The Nats, though, and some regional Liberals are afraid of political blowback if they go too far on climate policy. I mean, I think that's what we're seeing here. How real a risk is that, Peter? I mean, that they could lose seats in the regions if the government commits to net zero? And how much does that depend on the price tag they might be able to extract for their electorates for this support?
Well, I think that latter point, Fran, is one of the big ones here, that a lot of this for the Nats is about playing a bit of brinkmanship to try to get the best conceivable deal by looking like you're, you know, not bluffing, if you like. But having said all of that, if they don't extract a really good deal, or even if they do, there is a threat there for them in some of these seats. But it's not a threat from Labor. It's an independent or minor party threat, maybe One Nation, these sort of candidates, maybe some conservative independents. But realistically, I think that that's a preference flow issue for them. It's not something that ultimately sees the government losing seats to the Labor Party. And that's obviously why at the leadership level, including, I would argue, Barnaby Joyce, they're getting stronger, not weaker, on wanting to get a deal done. But it is definitely about trying to extract as much as they can for the bush. That's always been the way. The National Party operates as the junior coalition partner. We know that.
On another issue, immigration has stalled during the pandemic. I think it's in negative territory still. Now New South Wales wants Australia to open up. The new Premier, Dominic Perrottet, yesterday called for a big New South Wales as a way to boost longer-term economic growth and deal with an ageing Australia. Harking back to Kevin Rudd's Big Australia, really, I suppose. The Premier says he's going to pursue this matter with Scott Morrison. What do you think? Where do you think Australia is in terms of being ready for this debate, and how will the Morrison government respond, considering it was that government that, you know, most recently reduced the cap on migration before we had the pandemic?
Yeah, and in the lead up to an election, it's scary for a populist prime minister to be talking about a big Australia, knowing that that can have blowback in certain parts of the country, particularly in some of those seats, perhaps, that we were just talking about as
but
well.
But then we see the intergenerational report and the sort of the writing is on the wall.
Well, Scott Morrison, when he was Treasurer, he was an advocate for a big Australia, because anyone stuck with the finance portfolio in this country knows, and Dominic Perrottet, no different, I guess, as a former state treasurer, they all know that if you want to get that growth, it's reliant on population growth, and it really harms their political argument around a strong economy if they don't have high immigration. So I can see why Dominic Perrottet is doing it, because he's thinking 18 months from now and where the economy in New South Wales is going to be at when he faces a re-election. It's a more awkward one for Scott Morrison with the election just around the corner. But having said that, Liberals do tend to be prepared to argue these days for stronger, not weaker immigration flows. And given how weak it's been lately, you would think that that's not a fight that Scott Morrison wants to have. But I also can't see him, you know, amplifying the debate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's going to have to come with some kind of big investment, you would think, super investment into training, after hearing Michelle O'Neill talk about what's necessary, the investment here to pivot these fossil fuel economies to green jobs. But anyway, we'll wait for the budget to see what happens there. Peter, thank you.
Thanks for the chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA.